Authentic relationships are a way of life. If you're visiting this morning, you're going to hear baby noises throughout the service, little kid noises. And, you know, we also, this is a little different Sunday for us. Shorter sermon, a little glimpse into the life of our leadership and some things that we've been walking through too. And that's okay. We're believing God will speak to you, speak through all of these things, speak through our testimony, our witness, our relationships, the life of our church. So welcome if you're visiting. And to the church, it's good to be with you too. It's a gift to be with you. It matters that you're here, whether you're visiting in person or online this morning. So welcome to all of you. You know, next week we're actually beginning the part one of a three-part series. It's a really important series in the life of our church. It's called In God's Image. And in that series, we're going to be exploring some often controversial but really significant aspects of God's design for the flourishing of both women and men in home life, church life, and in the world. And a lot of our focus is going to be that church life piece because we've been really wrestling with the scriptures, and we want to bring clarity for all of you for some of the aspects of our theology and practice that impact you or will impact you. And we're excited about those things, excited to impart those things to you. Some kind of questions that we'll be going into are things like, man, when you look at scripture, in what ways are men and women distinct from but dependent upon one another? Also, in what ways are men and women really similar or the same? And how is the church to be different from the world in its portrayal of relationships between men and women? To get really practical, I mean, why at our church are all the elders men? And why are all the ministers women? And how do we decide who teaches on Sunday? Some of you have been looking at me for a while wondering that question. But we're going to dive in the scriptures. We're going to acknowledge there's places of mystery where we want to hold loosely to things. That's okay. We don't have to figure everything out. But there's also things we can stand on, truths in scriptures that we can stand on with confidence. So in all instances, whenever we're discussing debatable issues in scripture, what is abundantly clear is that we are called to approach those things with humility, to honor one another, to have a clear conscience before the Lord as best we can, and also to love one another genuinely. We hope you'll get to see that this morning. That's what today is about. My sermon will be brief, and I'm really hearkening back to a series from the fall called Holy Disagreement, if you remember that series, about how to disagree in an honorable way. And then we're going to share with you the process that we, as your elders, have walked through over the last several years to clarify some important pieces of theology and practice. And it's cost us to make decisions that we've made. And so that's important to share too. We want to let you into some of that. But I don't want that to sound too foreboding this morning. We are thrilled about where God is leading, confident in his leadership. And we as your elders, we love each other, we love Jesus, and we love you. And so let's pray. We'll jump in. Father, thank you for the sweet noises of kids this morning. Thank you that we're all at different parts of our walk in development with you. But you welcome us as little kids. You love us. And it's just so beautiful that you just say, don't hinder them, come. So God, would you give us the faith of children this morning to really receive from you whatever you want to give, whatever you want to offer. Thanks that we get to be here in this space where you dwell in the midst of your church. So we're listening for whatever you want to offer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So back in the fall, we taught on Romans chapter 14 and 15. My apologies to Roman, who's going to think I'm talking to him the entire time. Romans 14 and 15, where the church is having disagreements, the early church. And some people, they thought certain days were holier than other days. Others regarded all days as equally holy. And then you had certain people who believed that all food was, you know, able to be eaten and was acceptable as long as we received it with gratitude towards the Lord. And then some believe that certain foods were off limits. You shouldn't eat those foods and you should only eat other ones. And all this disagreement, that was fine. That was totally fine. What wasn't fine, however, is that people in the church began to look down on and judge and condemn one another when they were having those disagreements. And in a world that is increasingly unable to play gracefully with ideas or to entertain nuance when in a controversial conversation, what an opportunity we have as the church to show people what honest, honorable disagreement really looks like and feels like. So I want to highlight a few pillars of truth in Romans chapter 14 that can form a support for us anytime we're in a disagreement with someone else in the church. And you can stand on these truths. Remember, Scripture is our foundation. So I'm going to take a look at a few of these, and then I want to point us back to a couple of truths. So Paul's speaking to this church where they're disagreeing with one another and they're judging one another. In verse 4 of chapter 14 says this, "Who are you to pass judgment on another servant, on someone else's servant? Before his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." And then later in verses 7 and 8, "For none of us lives for himself, and none of us dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord." And that really overflows into this verse in verse 12. "Therefore, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Each of us will give an account of himself to God. So right in that first verse, we're reminded that those other believers sitting around you are here first and foremost to serve the Lord. The Lord is their master, the one to whom they must give an account. And we're all going to live in some different ways on debatable issues, and we'll all sacrifice in different ways, lay down our life in different ways. But we're not just doing that to please ourselves. We're doing that in service of the Lord because we belong to the Lord. And lastly, we stand before the Lord one day to give an account, not for how other people lived, but for how we live. Now, I want to bring us into that throne room for a moment, standing before the judgment seat of God. And that's a terrifying idea for me. But then I remember the gospel. If I'm able to stand at all, probably not, I'll be on my face. And if I'm ever able to speak at all, maybe I could manage a word when it's time for me to give my defense. And that word will be Jesus. Jesus, who purchased my freedom and forgave my sins. As I will not be giving a list of all the things I did right. I'll be saying, if Jesus is enough, I'm okay. If he's not, then I'm done. But Jesus is enough for me, for all of you, to make us completely clean when he paid for our sins on the cross. And he was raised from the dead to prove that he was good for the transaction, that he was able to save and to give us that grace, that undeserved favor. But that grace to us is not in vain, right? That grace begins to make us new, to transform our heart, to reorient us around Jesus, where all of a sudden, all the other things that vied for our attention just weren't as appealing anymore, not even our own desires. But now we just want to hear what Jesus has to say. And that's the first truth I really want to draw out of these verses, is as believers, as Christians, our fundamental orientation should be toward the Lord. Our fundamental orientation in life should be toward the Lord, not toward others and what they're saying towards us or telling or expecting of us, but towards the Lord. Man, I see this as doing two things in our lives. And this is coming straight out of that Holy Disagreement series. But if you have a clear conscience before the Lord, it does two things for you. It keeps us from getting bossy, and it keeps us from getting bossed around. To have a clear conscience before the Lord keeps us from getting bossy, and it keeps us from getting bossed around. This is like my kids. My boys will fight. "Oh, well, he said I can't have a piece of candy." Well, is he in charge of you? No, we're in charge of you. Put the candy back. No, see, all right. No. So or them bossing each other around. It's just like, we want to say, hey, no, don't look at each other and get mad when they're bossing you around, right? Look at us, because mom and dad are the authority in your life. Now, as we grow, we're going to have lots of authorities that we need to heed or submit to, but ultimately, we're looking up to the Lord. So if the Lord is requiring something of us, and before the Lord, our conscience is, we need to do this or we need to not do this, and someone else is contradicting that, then we have got to obey the Lord, amen? That's where we're looking. Our orientation should be toward the Lord. That also helps us to not get bossed around, because we can hold onto what we believe before the Lord without shame, regardless of how other people are feeling about that. So that's the first truth. The second one really follows from this and flows right out of Romans 14:5. He's talking to these people who are disagreeing. He's like, hey, you believe this? You believe this opposite thing? Well, this is what Paul says. Each one must be fully convinced in his own mind. This is what he's saying. This is what you need to do. Be fully convinced in your own mind. Now, at first, this seems counterintuitive, right? We're like, oh, I've met the people who are fully convinced in their own mind. I don't like them. Right? Because we can think that that necessarily means that someone is arrogant or overbearing or closed-minded. But what I want to ask you is, can you see that the only reason a person is arrogant or overbearing or closed-minded is because some part of them is too afraid to accept a challenge to their belief? Or some part of them is too afraid to hold on to what they believe if they can't force you to hold it with them? The person who is truly believing in faith, convinced of something that they have wrestled deeply with, doesn't feel the anxiety of having to force that on someone else. Doesn't feel the anxiety of hearing a challenge because they're secure in what they believe. This is what Paul's pointing us back to, not closed-mindedness. We need to have a clear conscience before the Lord in the way that we live our life. Our question that we need to come back to time and time again is, God, what are you asking of me and how can I be faithful to you? And if we come to a point where we have a clear conscience, that doesn't necessarily mean we're innocent. It doesn't necessarily mean we're right. But the Lord is our judge and we can trust him. And we can trust that even if we're wrong, the Lord knows that the best we can do in this life is to point ourselves back to him and to try to follow him and walk by faith and entrust ourselves to a merciful God who loves us, who paid for our sins to redeem us, to whom we belong, and who is not finished with us ever. So that concludes the sermon portion of the sermon. I want to walk us through what, for lack of a better word, is kind of an illustration of these things. Just open, behind the curtain of how have we as elders walked through searching the scriptures over the past several years to make some of the decisions we've made. Some which are coming at a great cost. And so we want to let you into that a little bit and to give you some context. Over 5 years ago now, our team of elders began searching the scriptures, reading, praying, seeking input from men and women inside and outside of New Life Church with a specific goal of clarifying our theology. This is in response to a lot of questions we were getting from our staff. Clarifying our theology and practice regarding the roles and responsibilities of elders, as well as the opportunities for non-elders, whether men or women, to lead and to teach within our community. After 3 years of work, so back in fall of 2018, we narrowed the variety of views represented on our team down to two. So we were kind of all over the place, and we moved to a place where we had two views, a majority perspective held by six of the elders, and a minority perspective held by one of the elders. So just to summarize those for you briefly, and we'll go into these more in depth in the coming weeks. The majority perspective in short form is this, that in addition to the elders, non-elders, men and women, may be permitted to teach in all areas of ministry within our church, including Sunday services, if there is unanimous approval by the elders for that person at that time. The minority perspective in short form is this: that in addition to the elders, only qualified men may teach in Sunday services, whereas women and men in general may teach in other areas, many other areas within the church. So we agreed on all of these different things, and then we had one point of disagreement on the teaching. Now, when we came to this point after much deliberation and prayer, we originally decided in faith to model mutual submission by yielding to one another in ways that both satisfied our consciences and allowed us to move forward as a unified team. That was back in fall 2018, and we had written an instructional tool primarily for our staff at the time that reflected the tensions of us choosing to hold both views together. And so we decided accordingly that we'd revisit our position every year to see if we could address and resolve those tensions. We did revisit our position the following fall of 2019 and found that each of us felt generally more convinced in the spot that we held and had moved to. And so we began the process of pursuing an important change. From fall 2019 through early 2020, we spent considerable time in prayer and discussion, charting a course together, and in our May board meeting of 2020, so that's a year ago now, almost a year, the elders voted 6-1 that our theology and practice should reflect the majority perspective of the elders of New Life Church. Now, though our votes did not all agree, all seven of us anticipated and came to that important vote together. And we do believe we are following the Spirit's leading both individually and as a team. Our bylaws stipulate that if the vote of a single elder is preventing a resolution from passing, that vote may be overridden by the other members of the team. Such a stipulation obviously comes at a cost and should never be taken lightly. But that is the action we took together for the first time in the history of our church. Now, Pastor Eric Weber represents the differing vote. He's here today. He knew that vote would be significant for him and his family. But he voted according to his conscience before the Lord. That is an honorable thing. Having expected that vote for some time, he knew for him it would eventually mean stepping down from the board at New Life in Ann Arbor. And we've worked together with him on that timing, and he has decided to step off the board in mid-June this summer. At that time, Eric and his family will be transitioning out of New Life Ann Arbor, but he will be continuing serving on the board of elders at New Life Ypsilanti, where he has also been serving faithfully for many years. Now, it's super important that you understand that the other elders are not requiring or even asking Eric to step down, and that this isn't just about Eric simply wanting to step down. He loves you all. He loves this church. This is a matter of conscience for him around a debatable issue in Scripture, and he's an honorable man for heeding his conscience and working with us and with his family to chart a path forward. So we, each of us, as your elders, honor one another, even and especially in disagreement, for doing the hard work of walking with one another and with the Lord in a way that is both honest and honorable. Both those perspectives that I summarized for you earlier, they both reflect a love for Scripture and a desire to obey the Lord in faith. So I feel, and others feel, real sadness here for Eric and Alexi and their family and for us as his co-laborers. Maybe there's real sadness for you who know the Webers as well. And we hold that sadness at the same time that we celebrate that God is preserving our relationships and his church. We still believe in each other. We're for each other as we walk where God leads, and we're supportive of each other moving forward in ministry. Eric is a man of integrity and character who has been serving faithfully here for many years in off-campus ministry, loving and discipling students. He's also been pastoring since 2014, almost exactly 7 years now, helping us to develop our New Life intro class and wrestle deeply with many of our theological positions. You may not have always seen him because one of his foremost contributions has been serving as a shepherd and a teacher at New Life Ypsilanti currently, but also for years while it was still a venue of New Life Ann Arbor and not yet an independent church plant. And I know you're sitting with some of your co-staffers as well, Eric, and they would attest that that church would not be the same without you. Moving it from a venue to an independent church, so much of your work has been just faithful, loving shepherding, the work of preaching God's word, and just leading and loving and being with that team and those students. Thank you for that work. And so many more things that could be said. We're going to take some time on June 6th. Eric is planning his final send-off sermon here at New Life. We're going to take some time to more directly celebrate and honor him, thank him, thank his family then. We encourage you to come to that if you feel comfortable being in person or to watch online so we have an opportunity to really just pour out blessing and gratitude then. Now, we're also going to walk with all of you as we've been walking together as an elder team. And so that's what a lot of that series is forthcoming, is we want to walk you through that, but we're also creating some more dialogical spaces if you want to dive into some back and forth conversation with us, which is welcome and exciting to wrestle with the scriptures honestly and honorably. So at this point, I'd love to invite up Eric and Alexi, whoever, and I invite up the elders as well. We give them a chance to share a couple words. Want to take some time just to pray for them. So we'll do that here. What mic are we using, Nick? You grabbing it?
I got it.
Oh, you got it. Okay, great. Yeah, let's have you. Yeah. I think most of us are vaccinated, healthy. Well, just come up as close as you feel comfortable. I know this is an emotional time for you guys, and we're standing up here with you. We love you. We honor you. So just be great for the church to hear in your own words that you'd like to share.
Thank you, Kyle. As you can tell, this is a hard moment for us and sad. One of the things we love about you, New Life Ann Arbor, our church here, is this is a place that, honestly, I got grounded in my faith. I became a believer between my sophomore and junior year here at the University of Michigan, and then came back, and I was invited by another RA at the dorm to join him at Christian Life Church at that time. And really, it was here that I got grounded in my faith, learning to walk in obedience to Christ and loving him and trusting him. And want to continue to do that. We want to continue to do that, Alexi and I and our family. So there's a mixed emotions here this morning. There's a lot of joy over what God is doing and has been doing here at New Life Church, and also sadness, as I shared. Just like Kyle had shared, there's the hard reality of belief. There's beliefs that we agree on, and there's beliefs that we can disagree on. I'm a bit of a theology nerd, so I'll nerd out on you just a bit with it. But there's primary beliefs for us as Christians, what we hold to that are essential to our faith and following Christ and living in holiness before the Lord. Those are primary beliefs. And then there are secondary and what some would say tertiary, third degree beliefs that basically where there's disagreement within the church. And a lot of the times the third degree, tertiary beliefs, there's basically beliefs that, a lot of people will be in the same church together and they may hold a different belief than someone else, but it really doesn't lead to them needing or feeling like it would be important to be a part of a separate church. But then there's secondary beliefs where, You know, there's a church, you know, some churches hold to infant baptism. We at New Life hold to believer's baptism. And so different churches have different practices, and they hold to those beliefs, and they remain separate even though they're united in their faith before the Lord. And for us, this is an area for Alexi and I that we would say it's a secondary area. It's not essential to our faith. But at the same time, it's something that's very important that we feel of obedience to Christ. We need to take this step in faith with a clear conscience, as Kyle shared. So Alexi, I just want to give a moment for Alexi to share here. But again, we're very confident before the Lord about this decision, and love his word and want to continue to follow him, and confident that you know, the church, the elders here, elder and minister team, love the Lord and want to follow his word too. And there's no doubt of that in my mind. So let me share, or let Alexi share briefly.
So as Eric said, because it's kind of emotional for us, I wrote this down so I could just read it for you. But I fully agree with Eric in our decision to step away from New Life Ann Arbor. As I personally have searched the scriptures diligently about the issue of women's roles in the church, I have become more convinced of God's leading for us. For me to remain at New Life Ann Arbor would go against my conscience and against God's leading for my life. Yet obeying God is not always easy and sometimes comes at a cost, which is why there's some tears. It brings me great sadness to have to say goodbye. We care about all of you. We wish you the best. And are thankful that our friendships with you will remain.
Thank you for sharing so authentically from your heart. Is there more?
Yeah, I was going to say one more. Thanks, Kyle. Just so you know, it's been a joy laboring with the team here, so we can, jump in and say the things that need to be said. So that's one of the awesome opportunities we have as an elder team, elder and minister team too. But we do love you, Ann Arbor, New Life Ann Arbor. We just pray that you as a church continues to reflect Jesus Christ, and that God continues to grow this church closer and closer to himself. And we are excited, as Kyle shared, to continue to pastor and be an elder at New Life Ypsilanti. And so that's kind of our next chapter that God has for us in this journey, even though we've been part of that chapter for a few years now. So now you can have it.
Yeah, we're going to circle around you. We're going to have a few of us pray. I would love to invite you, if you're able and willing, to stand. If you feel comfortable, I thought it could be supportive just to kind of put our hands out as kind of a way of blessing as we pray for these. If you feel comfortable doing that, these two pray for all of us. So let's pray for them. Go ahead, guys.
Lord, we come to you right now in reverence and honor. Lord, your kingdom is holy. You are the King of Kings. How you navigate history and time and keep your church moving forward through so much chaos and change is astounding. Lord, you invite us to know you, to walk with you. You've given us your example in Jesus. You've given us scriptures written over the centuries by many authors. And Lord, we study those, we lean into those, Lord, and you invite us to have convictions on what we believe in you, and to trust you and your Holy Spirit through all that. And Lord, you move in mysterious ways. I don't understand everything you do, but we trust you, Lord. We know that you are leading in this decision, in this place. Lord, I thank you for Eric and Alexi and the conviction they have. Lord, and that they will hold to that, and they're following you in this decision. Lord, I pray for them in this transition. God, would you bless them abundantly? Would they experience from each and every one of us in this church just love and gratitude for all the ways they have served over the years, Lord, for the ways that Eric for 7 years has eldered through really heavy things in this church to bring us to a greater place of health and stability. Lord, we love them. We are going to miss them, Lord, in those spaces of ministry. But they are in your kingdom, and they're not going far. They're just across town. Lord, I pray that we would preserve friendship, that we could encourage one another. Lord, I pray for their family. They, as a married couple, and their kids, in this transition, Lord, I pray that they would experience from this church, Lord, stories of how you worked and ministered through them, ways that this body, all of us, experienced you, Jesus, alive and vibrant in them. Lord, where our lives were impacted by their work, Lord, would you bring those things to mind for each one of us? And Lord, would you move us to write letters, to call them, to text, to share, so they can just experience the goodness that you have done through and in them in their time here. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them abundantly for following you as their spirit leads. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we're here on stage in this moment, I find myself thinking back at so many times that have come before this where this couple has served you faithfully. They've stood in gaps, big and small. They've been firm in your word. They've raised their kids to love you. They have been faithful to their friends, faithful to your word. I pray that you would bless them greatly. You protect them. You watch over them. You would cause the fruit of their ministry to be amazingly multiplicative in its power and grace and strength. I thank you that the way that they lead is different than anyone else in the world. You've made them particularly because you have plans for them. And I thank you, God, that you are the healer, so that when we grieve, we lean into you and we find comfort and strength. I pray that as they transition, finish this transition, that they would transition well, with strength, with grace, with an easy ability to lean into you, even though there's pain, even though it's hard. God, I feel grateful that what we have most and what we can praise you for most in all of this is we have you, and we can lean into you and trust you.
God, we celebrate obedience. Obedience is hard, but it brings you glory. And I just pray that you will be glorified through Eric and Alexi's convictions and obedience to the calling that you've led them to. I'm humbled to observe that and convicted. What ways are you calling me? I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have it in like ridiculous amounts of versions that we can sit in it and we can hear your voice. And I celebrate the fact that we have heard your voice. Your kingdom is vast. I don't really get it, but one day we will. But we thank you for Jesus and a chance to be made right with you. We do not deserve that. And I think that that is what unites us. Amen.